You're with Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.
Debate about Australia's energy mix of renewables and fossil fuels is all over the conversation in Parliament. It's dominating our conversation and also our spiralling power bills. Well, we all get a shock when the bills come in, don't we? They're about doubled in the past 7 years, yet we don't hear that much about who's making the profit from them and where the money goes. Independent business journalist Michael West has done a lot of research here on our electricity and gas market, which he says is known for being unregulated, opaque, and offering returns for multinationals and, in particular, one Asian tycoon that are absolutely extraordinary. So we welcome him to the program. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Wendy. Yes, back. And it's quite apposite that we're talking about feral cats this morning as well as electricity prices.
They're both a scourge, you think?
Well, I think there's some feral cat behaviour over this in Canberra with this massive blame fest going on and nobody really getting to the nub of the problem.
Mm. You say Australia offers such good profits that they're renowned worldwide. And I've been just mentioning the Hong Kong billionaire Li Ka-shing, his takeover of the Duet Group. Just tip us into that one. Why would a Hong Kong billionaire come to Australia, which is a low-growth economy with double the Hong Kong tax rate and ageing assets? Why?
Well, the reason is that he's making an incredible amount of money here, and he always has, and he's a big owner of electricity and gas assets, and the prices for both have doubled. Now, he's not the only person to blame here. He's just a businessman trying to make much money as he can. But he makes four times the amount of money here than he does on his power assets in the UK.
Well, it is extraordinary. You're saying that the profits that have been made here on the power markets in Australia are almost peerless worldwide.
Oh, they're super profits, not only because they're extremely high just in dollar terms, but also because they're as safe as you can get. We're talking about regulated and unregulated in some cases, gas, for instance, unregulated monopolies. So they can charge what they want and they game the regulators consistently. So there's two things, regulators' failure and politicians' failure and super profits being made by the network operators.
Tell us about the situation, before we go to New South Wales, tell us about the situation in Queensland and the investment that Queensland has in power there and what that's returning to them.
Well, in Queensland, the Powerlink is the big operator up there, and they've made returns that have put every stock, every company in the top 50 on the stock exchange in the shade. They've made absolutely super profits, and they're still owned by the government. So that's why the government's very keen to privatise. We should get a lot of money for that, as we have privatised half the transmission network here. In New South Wales.
Yeah, but you'd think that they would be crazy. I'm just looking at these figures here. They say that they've got returns in Queensland 23 times the return achieved by Lendlease, 15 times the return achieved by Telstra, and 10 times the returns achieved by BHP, and 10 times that achieved by NAB. I mean, you know, you wonder why governments are selling this off.
Well, that's right, because the minute you sell it, you get one cash payment up front, you get a few billion dollars, and then you don't get that $700 million or whatever dropping into the state coffers every year. So that's one good argument against it, because the states are making so much money, because Victoria and South Australia privatised many years ago, and in Queensland and New South Wales corporatised, which is just almost as much to blame. Corporatising meaning that, well, in the old days, for instance, the head of the State Electricity Commission used to trudge up the hill to Senate estimates and have to account for why prices went up 3.5% that year rather than 3%, which was, you know, the inflation rate. And there was one person accountable and one body accountable. And so that's why there were blackouts. One person was accountable. Then what they did is they corporatised the electricity networks into a whole lot of different bodies, all with their own boards and executives, their own PRs, their own HR, their own completely different structures. And, of course, everybody incentivised to make as much money as they could for their own corporation. Now, the issue here is the way that they make the money. And the way that they make the money is the more money they spend, the more money they make. It's a very perverse incentive because it means that if they make a whole lot of gold plating or useless spending, building things that they don't need to build or spending things on things they don't need to spend on, then they still make money. And this is a regulatory problem, a severe regulatory problem. And it means that more than half of the price rises over the past 10 years have been due to rising network costs or gold plating. Mm-hmm. It's not the carbon tax. That was the shibboleth, you know, and that's come up again. And it looks like the politicians are going to fight the election on this business of coal and so on again. But this is just it's just an aside. It's a complete distraction from the truth of what's going on.
But, Michael, to be fair, you know, when you mentioned those old organisations like the, you know, state electricity commissions, you know, some people's blood runs cold. I mean, it's always been, you know, the mantra, I suppose, that private business was always able to run these organisations better than a state government.
Well, we're still getting blackouts and prices have doubled. And in the old days, prices used to go up 3% or roughly around CPI. And now they go up 10%. Mm. This is for a regulated old commodity that's been around for 100 years. I mean, why should price rises go up 10% a year when the stock market doesn't go up that, goes rather about half that. Mm. And of course, the CPI, the inflation rate, only goes up and productivity grows and so on by 2 or 3%.
Tell us what's going on in the area of gas. I mean, I don't think people are quite across this notion that the ownership of the pipelines is unregulated and that's where people can make a lot of money.
Absolutely. Well, gas is worse than electricity. Prices have actually gone up more, Wendy, which has thrown up the incredibly ironic situation where customers in Japan for Australian gas, 20,000 k's away, they can buy our gas more cheaply than we can. Mm. And the reason for that is what you've got in gas is you've got an unregulated oligopoly. There are about three major players. Now, in gas, just to give you an idea, one of the major players, I think the biggest, is APA Group, Australian Pipelines. Since floating in 2000 on the share market, their returns have been 1,300%.
Whoa.
Now, this is for a boring old pipeline
thing.
I mean, we're not talking about, you know, Microsoft or Google or Apple or something here. We're talking about a pipeline stock, 1,300%. Now, of course, they deny that it's anything to do with them profiteering, but it can't be anything else because it's a you know, these guys have managed to force price rises the whole time. And again, it's the same deal. The more they go to the regulator, as the electricity people do, and they say to the regulator, OK, now we need, this is how much, you know, this is going to cost to replace. So therefore, we're going to value our assets at this. And there's a bit of argy-bargy, but generally they get their own way. And so the regulator agrees to the price rises based on its forecast. Now we're getting to the nub of the problem because when the South Australian blackout Imbroglio happened. Everybody blamed renewables. Well, certain sections of the press certainly blame renewables. But who's responsible? Who's responsible is the Australian Energy Market Operator, AEMO. That is the body responsible for making the forecasts and for running the market. And there's an abject failure here because they always over-forecast and say there's going to be more demand than there is. The other part of the blame game, instead of being coal versus renewables, should be on who owns these networks. Well, they're owned by Li Ka-shing and by the state grid of China in South Australia.
So then would put yourself in the camp, I guess, of One Nation, though, wouldn't you, Michael, by saying that we don't want privatisation of assets? And that they should be bought back, actually, is what One Nation's saying.
Well, I'm not in the camp of One Nation, Wendy, on many other issues. but probably. I think privatisation has been a failure. There is no doubt.
Okay.
Prices have doubled.
All right. Well, let's just quickly go to this ACCC report, and that also was followed by a COAG report, and it had four key recommendations for market reform. This is in gas particularly. And it has said, though, the recommendation is transparency, transparency, transparency. I mean, that's what it seems to be.
I think that is a recommendation. I mean, Australia is swimming in a sea of gas. We have so much gas. We don't need to do all this fracking and so on. There's an incredible amount of gas around. But the problem is it all gets exported. So they've turned the pipelines around, sent them to Gladstone and Queensland, and we ship it off. And so we export parity pricing. We pay the same as we're, or more or less, than we're selling it overseas, which is, there should be a domestic reservation policy, because this affects every business and every consumer in the country, gas prices.
Okay.
So transparency is correct, because in the US, every pipeline is responsible for putting out its own financial statements, and for that kind of transparency, and prices are far lower over there.
This is about not about the mix so much, Michael West, is it? It's about actually who owns the networks.
Yeah, that's about, that's right. The performance of the regulator or the market operator, AEMO, and that don't, and it's worth listeners knowing that AEMO is a private company, 40% owned by industry, so by gas and electricity people. So, and its board of directors is completely stacked with private sector people who have lots of connections in industry. So AEMO is the operator. It has failed. It failed in South Australia. It's failed to restrain prices. Well, that's the Australian Energy Regulator, in fact, has failed to restrain prices. Mm-hmm. But it's a regulatory failure, allowing people to make too much money for providing no extra performance.
All right. Well, what about, just finally here, before I let you go, Michael, a couple of texts here saying, well, you're a bit of a lefty-leaning business writer, and why not? I mean, these global investors are attracted to the stability that we have in Australia, and that's the reward for investing, these mega profits. What's the answer then, if you don't agree with that?
Well, I'm just a realist. I don't think there's any lefty-righty thing here at all. I mean, this is a market failure. I've just identified the people who presided over this market failure. Yes, coal is on the way out. Renewables are now cheaper. That transition has to be managed properly. But we must remember all these people, they're probably IPA stooges calling up, you know, every chance they get. I mean, the industry spends a lot of time trying to disrupt the transition to renewables, the inevitable transition. I mean, it's like the horse and buggy. You know, when the horse and buggy first went out and cars came in, cars didn't perform perfectly because the roads weren't up to scratch. But it is inevitable, and the horse and buggy crew will try and disrupt that process, Wendy. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
All right. Well, yes, as I said, we were going to talk about the people who own the networks in the background there. I guess that's been our main focus this morning, but we're about to debate the rest of it in a minute.
You're with Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.